بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد وعن عبد الرحمن بن عوف رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلت المرأة خمسها وصامت شهرها وحفظت فرجها وأطاعت زوجها قيل لها أدخلي من أي أبواب الجنة شئت أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. My most respected sisters, mothers and daughters in Islam, we must understand that this world Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into, it is Darul Imtihan. It is that plan, it is that land, it is that place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us over here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see that will my servants in this world, will they pass the test or will they fail the test? Because it is Darul Imtihan, just like when we have our imtihans and exams in school and in madrasa, we give our exam, we prepare, we give the exam, and thereafter we wait for our results. So this world is the Darul Imtihan, the place of exam. We are giving our exam practically through our deeds, through our good deeds, through our bad deeds. We are giving our exam. And tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, when we'll be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who will be granted their book in their right hand, they have passed the exam. Those who are granted their book in the right hand, their book of deeds, they have passed the exam. And those who are given their book of deeds in the left hand, unfortunately, they have failed the exam. This world, my dear sisters, it is Darul Amal. The place and the land where we have the chance to do deeds. And every deed we are doing, we will have to account for it tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. Whilst and until we breathe our last in this world, whatever deed we will do, we will get the reward for it. Any good deed we will do, we'll get the reward for it. But when our time expires, when our time finishes, and then we reach into the akhirah, now no matter how much amal we want to do, no matter how much practice we want to do, we will not get the chance to do that practice anymore. And my dear sisters, just as this is Darul Imtihan, the place of exam, just as this is Darul Amal, the place for practice, similarly, we must always keep in mind that this world is very, very temporary. This world is very, very temporary. Whoever comes into this world, they come to leave the world. Nobody has ever stepped into this world and remained in this world forever. Before we were born, right when we were created, our souls, they were present in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In alame arwah, the land of the souls, way before we came into this world, when every single person from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, all the way till the time of the last person who will come onto this earth, Muslim, non-Muslims, all of their souls were present in front of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like he mentions in the Quran, he said to us, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ Am I not your Lord? Am I not your nourisher? Am I not your sustainer? Am I not your creator? And every single one of us, be it from the obedient Muslims today, be it from us disobedient ones, be it from the Muslims, be it from the non-Muslims, every single one of them said to Allah that, Bala, of course, O Allah, of course you are our Lord, and when you will send us into this world, we will live to the demands of you being our Lord. If you are our Lord, then the demand is whatever you tell us to do, we will do. Whatever you tell us to refrain from, we will refrain from it. So this was one world, the alame arwah. And all of us, my dear friends, our final abode is not this world. Our final abode is something else we have in mind. Our deen tells us our final abode is something else. Our final abode is alam-e-akhirat. We were in alam-e-arwah, and our final destination is alam-e-akhirat. And us being Muslims, we must also pray, always pray to Allah, that, oh Allah, in the alam-e-akhirat, grant us jannat. Grant us the everlasting and the eternal bliss of paradise. So here's one world which is called the alam-e-arwah, the land of souls. And we want to go into the akhirat, which is called the alam-e-akhirat, the akhirat and the hereafter. But in between, to take us from one station and to bring us to another station, we are going through the journey of the world. We are going through the journey of the world. Just as I was in London a few days ago, and my destination was Toronto. But unless I went on that flight and I took the flight from London to Toronto, I would have not been able to come here. Similarly, we were in the land of souls. But our final destination is the Akhirat. But in order to come from the land of souls all the way to the Akhirat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into the journey of the world. So from there we have understood this, our whole life, whether we live for 20 years, 30 years, 60 years, 80 years, over 100 years, our whole life, the definition of our whole life is a long journey. It's a journey. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say to Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, that, oh Abdullah bin Umar, and this message was for the whole ummah, that kun fi dunya ka annaka ghareeb, remain in this world as if you are a traveler. Remain in this world as if you are a traveler. When I was traveling to come over here, I'm not planning for my whole life. I took only the amount of clothes that I will need, only the amount of my other necessities that I have. I did not start preparing for years and years, because I knew that I am only staying in Toronto for 8-9 days, and after that I will return back home again, and this is where everything else stays. Similarly, my dear friends, us living in the world, we live to our necessities. We don't stay here and start building palaces and enjoying life so much and enjoying so much luxury that we tend to forget about our hereafter. Because we are travelers in this world. Imagine if I was on my plane from Heathrow to Toronto, from London to Toronto, and I was on the plane and I started saying that, oh, you know what? These seats are not nice on the plane. I need to order a bed, and I need to bring a bed onto the plane. And I said, you know, this aeroplane looks very, very plain and simple to me. I need to call my decorators and tell them, start painting the plane for me. You would say that you are such a foolish person. There is no one more foolish than you. You are only on this plane for how many hours? It's only an 8-hour flight. And after that, you will never come on this plane again. So why are you worrying so much about the plane? Just worry about your journey, and this is enough. Don't worry about spending so much money behind everything else. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then used to say, to explain to Abdullah bin Umar how short this life was, he used to say, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَاءِ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحِ. Oh, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, when you wake up in the morning, then don't think of the evening, because you may not live to the evening. When you wake up in the morning, then worry about the time zone you are in right now. Worry about what you are doing right now, because life is too short, you may not live to the evening. And when you find yourself in the evening, don't worry too much about the morning, because you don't know if you're going to live till the morning. Why, my dear sisters? Because this world is so temporary, so temporary. You sisters, you do not go to the qabrastan when somebody passes away. But ask your menfolk that when they pray somebody's janazah salah, when somebody passes away and they pray their janazah salah, you heard, if you were here for the Zahar Salah, there was the Adhan, and then there was the Iqama. First it was the long Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. After that, time was given for Sunnah. And after that, you heard the quick one, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashadu an la ilaha illallah. And 2-3 seconds after that, you heard the Imam say, Allahu Akbar, and he started his namaz. But you ask your menfolk that when they go to pray the Janazah Salah, nor is there any Adhan, nor is there any Iqamat. Na azan hoti hai, na iqamat hoti hai. No azan, no iqamat. Bas, the body is brought in front of the imam starts, Allahu Akbar, starts the prayer. Allahu Akbar, and he starts the prayer. The ulama have posed this question, that why is it most of the namazes All the Fard Salah, there is Adhan, there is Iqama, and Janaza Salah, such an important Salah. And over there is no Adhan, there is no Iqama. The ulama have answered saying, there is an Adhan and there is an Iqamat. But the time for the Adhan and Iqamat for the Janaza Salah is slightly different. Every single person for his Janaza Salah, a Adhan and Iqamat is taking place. But when did this Adhan and Iqamat take place? When this child came into the world, when you, oh my dear sister, you came into the world, then your father, oh, a pious person, he gave the Adhan in your right ear. He gave the Adhan in your right ear. After that, he gave the Iqamat in your left ear. He gave the Adhan in your right ear, gave the Iqamat in your left ear, and this is the Adhan and your Iqamat for your Janaza prayer. This is the Adhan and the Iqamat for your Janaza prayer. It is like as soon as we come into this world, the first lesson that we are taught, as soon as we come into this world, the first lesson that you are taught, that, oh my dear daughter, you're coming into this world, but very soon you're going to leave this world. This is why we are giving the Azan and the Iqamat for your Janaza Salah from now. And ulama have mentioned another point, that just as there is only a 5-second break between the Iqamat and between the Imam Sahib says Allahu Akbar, maximum 10-second break, just as there is a very, very short time, this baby is being taught that your time in the world is going to be so short, in comparison to the hereafter. What happens when we're small children, messing around with one another, and then we go to nursery, and then we go to school, and then we go to high school, and then we're in madrasa, and we're enjoying our life so much. Ha ha, he, messing around here, going out with our friends, going out shopping. So every day seems like a very, very long time to us. And we feel, oh, I'm living such a good life, and I'm living such a long life. So when we're in this world, we sometimes become deceived. This is why, what did Allah Ta'ala call the world? وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. This dunya is nothing but deception. We get deceived. We get carried away with our friends, carried away with our relatives, carried away with our school friends, carried away with our madrasa friends. And everything we do, because we are doing, enjoying ourselves, we are thinking, oh, I'm going to live here forever. And I'm living such a long life. But when you compare mine and your 80 years, 60 years, 30 years, however long we are going to live, when we compare this time to the akhirat, then the time is only like the time which is given between the Iqamat and the Allahu Akbar of the Imam. This is how short our time is in this world, my dear friends. As soon as the angel of death will come, and as soon as we enter into the realms of the Akhirat, into the phase of the Akhirat, we leave this world and we go into the next stage, we'll realize how the reality of this world and how short this world really was. So my dear sisters, my dear mothers, living in this world, we should never get fooled. And living in this world, we should always remember our final destination. We should always keep in mind that we have come into this world, but nobody is going to live in this world forever. Nobody is going to live in this world forever. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, the Quran tells us that he was giving da'wah and propagating to his people for 950 years. Can any of us sitting over here imagine even living for 300 years, 500 years, 200 years? We can't even imagine 950 years in this world. But my dear sisters, you imagine that when Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, and I was saying that his da'wah was only 950 years. What about the other parts of his life? His youth, when he came into this world. So when he passed away, somebody said to Nuh alayhi salatu was salam that you are from those prophets who have lived the longest time in this world. You are from those prophets who have lived the longest time in this world. How did you find this world? What was the experience of this world? Now you have come into the akhirat. Now you can see Jannat. Now you can see Jahannam. Now you can see punishment. Now you can see reward. You were also inside the qabr as well. You saw the life of the qabr as well. Now when you compare this world of the hereafter, when you compare it to the world in the worldly life, when you compare it to the dunya, how was your experience? How was your experience? What does he say? كَبَيْتٍ لَهُ بَابَانَ دَخَلْتُ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَخَرَجْتُ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. My experience, my 1,000+ years, let me describe it to you. It felt like this whole world was like one room. One room. And it felt like I entered from one door and I left from the other door. This is how temporary my life was. Why do we not feel the temporary nature of this world? Because we make our houses, our families, our cars, our jobs, our education, our career, everything around us, we make it our objective. When we've made all these things our objective, don't get me wrong, I'm not a dry person. Brothers have been listening to me for the last few days. They understand that when we talk, we keep the whole world in front of us when we talk. We keep all our halat in front of us when we talk. I'm not saying education is not important. I'm not saying your family is not important. I'm not saying your career is not important. I'm not saying your husbands are not important. But when we make them our final objective, as if there is nothing to come after that, then we tend to forget about the hereafter. We tend to forget that the people around us, the things that we are doing, our jobs, our career, our money that we have today as well, all of this is temporary and all of this is going to come to an end one day. All of this is going to come to an end one day. Allah Ta'ala, not once, not twice, 3 times in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala reminds us, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ دَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. That every single soul which has come into this world, every single soul will have to taste death. There is nobody who will come in this world and they will not have to taste death. Even the most beloved creation, the most beloved person to ever step on this foot on this earth, most beloved to Allah, and Allah is the controller. Allah is Malikul Mulk. Allah is the owner of this kingdom. But His most beloved creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He is being told so openly in the Quran, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Oh, my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ. Even you are not going to remain here forever. Even you, one day you are going to leave this world as well. And this is what happened. بشر کو چاہیے کہ ہر وقت خیال قضاء رہے ہم کیا رہیں گے جب رسول خدا نہ رہے. What does the poet say? That انسان, human being, ہر وقت خیال قضاء رہے. قضاء means death. At all times he should always remember his death. At all times he should always remember his death. And then the poet says that don't ever think to yourself you will remain in this world forever. Don't let your friends deceive you. Don't let your social network platforms deceive you. Oh, I've got 1,000 followers and I've got 100,000 followers and everybody's giving me likes. And whenever I put up a picture, everybody's liking it. And in school, oh, I'm the talk of the town. And everyone's talking about me in school. And everyone wants to be my friend in school. And you know, in my town, everyone wants to hang around with me. I'm the most famous girl in the block. And I'm the most famous girl in our flats. And everyone wants to walk behind me. Don't let this crowd, don't let this audience, don't let this fame, don't let this amusement you see around you, this engagement you see around you, don't let this deceive you, my dear sister. Don't let this deceive you. The poet says that don't ever think all of this is going to last forever. And then the poet says, how can you and I remain in this world forever when our beloved Prophet did not remain in this world forever? When he did not remain, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how do you expect that you and I will remain here forever? So my dear sisters, yes, like I said, it's human nature. Because we can't see the hereafter. You know, my dear sisters, if today Allah was to bring Jannat and Jahannam in front of us, our whole lives would change. We would become the most perfect human beings. But this is the test. I just told you at the start, this world is an imtihan. That we cannot see Jannat, we cannot see Jahannam. We cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is the test, that the message this Jannat and Jahannam is giving to us, the message Allah has sent down to us through 124,000 Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, do we accept this message or not? Do we pay heed and give importance to this message or not? This is the test. This is the test. So it's human nature, because we cannot see Jannat, because we cannot see Jahannam, we tend to forget. But my dear sisters, we must always remember, Allah is always reminding us in different ways. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. This worldly life in comparison to the hereafter is so short, it's so short, it's so short. Allama Rumi rahmatullahi alayh, giving the example that I gave to you about the station of the souls and the station of the hereafter, giving the example, he says, this world, the example of this world is just like the ocean. Like the ocean. Somebody wants to go from one land to another land without boarding a ship and going on this ocean. Without boarding a ship and going in this ocean, he will not be able to get to his destination. So he says, similarly, for us to go from one land to the land of the hereafter, the example of this world is the ocean. Example of this world is the ocean. Mine and your example is the ship. If you and I did not come in this world, we would not go into the akhirah. So the example of this world, it is the ocean. Mine and your example, it is the ship. Allama Rumi gives such a beautiful example. He then says, for as long as you, O human being, he says, for as long as the ship remains on top of the ocean, it will be successful and it will get ashore. But when the ship lets the water enter into the ship, you know, some people on the ship, they say, come on, let's make a hole over here, let some water come inside. One small hole in such a big ship, slowly, slowly water will come, and then this whole ship will sink. This whole ship will sink. From here, Allama Rumi gives us the message that, O human being, for as long as you remain in this world and you remain on top of the world, you remain on top of the world, just like the ship remains on top of the ocean, you remain in control of your world. You do not let the world deceive you. You do not let the world attract you and pull you inside. You remain in this world the way Allah has instructed you. But as soon as you let the love of the world enter into your heart, and now this love of the world takes priority over the love of Allah and the love for the akhirah. As soon as you let the love of the world enter into your heart, my dear sister, you are going to sink. You will not be successful in the hereafter. Your ship will sink. You will sink. You will not be a successful traveler to the hereafter. My dear sisters, the short time we have in this world, this is the only time we will get to do amal. This is the only time we will get to do amal. I gave an example yesterday and I said that I heard from the great Sheikh Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahib Damat Barakatuhum. Once he came to London and he gave a bayan, and in that bayan he said that one person, it was a pious person, he passed away. When he passed away, he requested Allah that, O Allah, will you grant me permission? I have a request. Will you grant me permission for as long as I remain inside the qabr, will you enable me to continue to read Quran all the way till the day of judgment? All the way till the day of judgment. Allah Ta'ala accepted his request. Allah accepted his request. So even till today, he's reading the Quran all the way to the qabr. So all the way to the day of judgment. One of his friends saw him in a dream. What happened, man, when you passed away? How did Allah fare with you? He said, Allah was very kind to me. Allah was very generous to me. Allah accepted my request. What request did you make to Allah? He said, I tried my luck. So I said to Allah, O Allah, let me spend that time in the qabr reading the Quran. Allah said, no problem, you can continue to read the Quran. And he told his friend that from the time I have died till the time of your dream, I have completed the Quran 70,000 times. I have completed the Quran 70,000 times. And then he starts to cry. He's saying, I've completed the Quran 70,000 times. And then he starts to cry. The friend, seeing the dream, he says, Why are you crying? He said, because I am reading the Quran. And I've completed the Quran 70,000 times. And only Allah knows how many more thousands of times I will complete the Quran before the day of judgment. But let me tell you something, my dear friend. My completing the Quran this many thousands and thousands of times is no avail to me. It is of no benefit to me. I will complete the Quran thousands and thousands of times, but you reading just one verse from the Quran is much more better than me completing the Quran thousands and thousands of times. Why? Because my time for amal has expired. My time for amal has expired. And your time is still in the world. And that's why every verse of the Quran you will pray, you will still get rewarded. And thousands of times I will complete the Quran, I will not get rewarded. I will not get rewarded. You see the athlete, he runs the 100 meter race. You have athletics in this country, right? Olympics, athletics. So they run the 100 meter race. Now this athlete, him and his competitor, the racer B, He wins the race. He wins the race. No matter how much racer A says that, oh referee, look behind the scenes when I was training, I done so much training, and look even after the line, look, I will show you I am such a good racer and I can sprint so fast, but only in the racetracks this and this happened to me. What will the referee say? We don't care what happened before you started the race. We don't care how much you perform after you pass that finish line. We can only measure your time and we can only judge you from that start line of that 0 meter all the way to 100 meter. After that, it is nothing to do with us. Do you agree with me or not? Or have you ever heard the judge change the judgment and say, oh, here was the 90-minute football match, or here was the soccer match, or here was the basketball match, and you know, because this team is very good in their training, you know, we will change the scores over here. No, you have a 90-minute match of soccer, you have however long match of basketball, you have the boxing match. From the time of the start of the match till the end of the match, this is what we will take into consideration. This is what we will judge. Similarly, from the time we reach the age of puberty till the time we'll breathe our last, this is all that counts. No matter how much we do after we go into the qabr, no matter a million times we pray subhanallah, it will not match that one subhanallah we will pray in this world, my dear sisters. We must understand this reality. Because if we fail to understand this reality and perform accordingly, then just like that soccer team, when they lose the Premier League, when they lose the season, they cry so much afterwards. Similarly, when we will lose our match, and when we will get into the qabr, and when we realize that we did not perform the way we wanted to perform in this world, we will be crying. We will not be crying tears, we will be crying tears of blood, my dear sisters. We'll be crying tears of blood and we'll scream to Allah and we'll say, send me into this world one more time. I will become the most pious woman and I will do this and I will do this and I will also encourage my husband to do this and I will also nurture my children to do this. Allah Ta'ala will say, Kalla, innaha kalimatun huwa qailuha. No way. He says, no chance. Impossible. This is just a word you are saying. It means nothing to us anymore. It means nothing to us anymore. So my dear sisters, all the time from morning to evening, from evening to morning, always remind yourself of this message that I have come into this world, I'm going to remain in this world for a very, very temporary time. All these facilities, all this luxury I see around me, all this, I'm spending so much time decorating my house, so much time working behind my career, so much time, you know, enjoying myself, planning this function and planning this function. My dear sister, none of this is going to help you in the qabr. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us, يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثَةٌ. Three things will follow every individual to the qabr. Three things will follow every individual to the qabr. يَتْبَعُهُ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ. His family members, her family members, her husband, her children, they will follow her to the qabrastan all the way till they get to the qabr. And her bank account, and if she had any slaves, any servicemen, they will follow her all the way till the qabr. But as soon as that, and Prophet ﷺ said, her amal will follow her. Today when she's come to this bayan, this is an amal. When she prays namaz, this is an amal. When she spends in the path of Allah, this is an amal. When all her friends are going out to enjoy themselves, but she knows that they will engage in sin, she says, no, I don't want to come with you. She stops. So just as doing a pious amal, it is a good deed. Similarly, refraining from a haram amal, this is also a good deed. It's also a good deed. This is why Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was told by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Oh Abu Huraira, you make it a point in your life that you refrain from every disobedience of Allah. If a certain friend circle is no good for you, Abu Huraira, you stay away from that friend circle. If you know that these friends are going to take you to the cinema, these friends are going to take you towards haram relationship, these friends will take you towards drug trafficking, these friends will take you towards intoxicating yourself, Abu Huraira, refrain from these friends. And this message wasn't for Abu Huraira. It was for every single one of us sitting over here. For Maryam, for Fatima, for Safiya. This message was for every single one of us. That refrain from the disobedience of Allah. If you do this, you are worshipping Allah so much, so much, so much. تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. You will not become a normal worshipper. You will become the most worshipping from the people. You will tum logon mein se sabse zyada, sabse bada ibadat guzar ban jaoge. If you refrain from haram, this is also a great ibadah. We don't know. when someone is trying to message us, a boy from school, from college, from university, is trying to message us and you're trying to block him. He's trying to come onto our social media platform and access our account. And you're trying to block him that, no, I don't want you to come. He's trying to tell you that, come on, come out with us tonight. After school, we're going to go here, we're going to go here. You control yourself. You're refraining from sin. You are worshipping Allah. Don't think that only doing sajda to Allah, this is the only worship of Allah. Don't think praying tasbih, this is the only worship of Allah. No, my dear sister, when you work hard and you control yourself, you resist from that sin, this is a great worship of Allah. This is a great worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what I was saying, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your family members will come with you to the Qabristan, your bank account, your earnings, everything will come to you with you to the Qabristan, and your amal will come with you to the Qabristan. But he said, يَرْجَعُ إِثْنَان وَيَبْقَى wahid. Two things return, only one thing will stay. He said, your family members will return. Your family members will return. They will not come and help you inside the qabr. These children who are saying to you, Mom, come and take us to the cinema. Mom, come and listen. Let's listen to music at home. Mom, come and buy us a television. We want to do this. We want to do this. Or our parents are making us sin as well. If you do, you have the right to say yes or no. You have the right to say yes or no. With all due respect to parents, when we reach the age of puberty, my dear sister, now we are in charge of our actions. لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. Today morning we spoke about parents. We explained the importance of parents. But at the same time, parents do not get priority over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The order of Allah always comes first. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, your family will return, they will not help you in that qabr. Your wealth, everything will return, it will not help you in that qabr. Only the good deeds you have done in your life and the bad deeds you have done in your life, only they will come and follow you into the qabr. Only they will come and follow you into the qabr. If you are a righteous woman, this qabr, this grave will become so wide, Allah will expand it for you. Allah will open the windows of Jannah for you. And a cool breeze will come to you inside. Cool breeze will come to you inside. And if you were unfortunately, a bad Muslim, and a bad Muslim sister, and a bad Muslim mother, and a bad Muslim child, and you weren't fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when you go in that qabr, everybody when they're standing in the qabrastan are thinking, yes, you're in a very nice and wide place, and everything's looking okay, but the person standing there is only a few centimeters away from your qabr, but he doesn't know what is happening to you inside the qabr. He doesn't know that behind the scenes, behind the veils, this qabr is getting so tight on you, my dear sister. So tight on you that your ribs are interlocking with one another. Your ribs are interlocking with one another. And then the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will start. So my dear sisters, if anything will help us in this qabr, if anything will help us in the hereafter, it is the good deeds that we do in this world. So strive to do good deeds. Strive to live a good life. Strive to live a pious life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given so much capability, so much potential in a woman. A woman is the queen of the house. A woman is the controller of the house. She's the queen of the house. Yes, she has to abide by the husband. Whatever the husband says, she will do. But Allah has made her so naturally like this, that she can win the heart of her husband. She can win the heart of her children. She can win the heart of her siblings. And if she guides them towards doing right, she can make such a pious household. And if this one woman is corrupt, she will corrupt her husband as well. She will corrupt her children as well. She will corrupt her siblings as well. And her whole household will become full of sinners. My dear sisters, it is in our nature. It is in our nature that when we see another sister and she is well off, when we see another sister and she is well off, we become ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's all, Allah has given me nothing. And then we go complaining to our husbands. What have you done for me? You have done nothing for me. Look at my friend. She is living in such and such house. So many years we've still been living in an apartment. And I've been telling you so much. Your job is so good. And your job will permit you to go to the bank and take out a mortgage and take out a interest-based loan. Take out the loan and we can enjoy ourselves. For how long are we going to remain in this apartment? For how long are our children going to remain like this? What have you done for your children? You're such a bad husband. You're such a bad father. You're like this. Allah has put this in our nature. Us men, we have certain natural deficiencies. You women have certain natural deficiencies. Allah Ta'ala does not make everybody the same. This is why Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, O husbands, Allah has made woman in such a way. Allah has made women in such a way, لَوْ أَحْسَنْتَ إِلَيْهِنَّ لَوْ أَحْسَنْتَ إِلَىٰ إِحْدَاهِنَّ الدَّهْرِ. If for your whole life you do good towards your wife, but one day you say no. One day you say no. Whole life, whatever she wanted, you got for her. Whenever you wanted to take her shopping, you took her. Whenever she wanted something for the children, you bought it for them. She said, come and take me over here. You took them. Take me to this relative. You took them. And now today is the time for salah. And she says, come on, we have to go Costco. And you say, no, I have to go for salah first. What will she say? After 30, 40 years, you've never ever said no. He said, لو أحسنت إلى إهداهن الدهر. My dear sisters, don't think I'm putting you down. My own mother is also a female. My own wife is also a female. My own sisters are also female. I do not have nothing against female. Shaitan puts this in our mind afterwards. Look at these men, they're being sexist. And they're being, feminism and all sorts of words start coming into our minds. No, my dear sisters. If I will not teach you deen, you will hold my neck tomorrow on the day of judgment. And you will say, Allah, he came to visit us, but he didn't share the right message with us. He was only sharing with us those things that were good for our ears. No, my dear sisters, I do not want to be held accountable on the day of judgment. So whatever small knowledge Allah has given to me, I take it as an amana that I must share with you. I must share it with you. So what message did Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? And he left this message not to put you down. He left this message to ensure that, my dear sister, you do not make this mistake in your life as well. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 30 years, 40 years, you have been so good to her. Everything she wanted, you did for her. Whatever goodness you could think of, you done it for her. Whatever gift you could think of, you bought it for her. And one day you said, no, look, it's the time of salah. Not now. 1 hour later, I will come home. I will collect you. I will take you. What does she say? You've never done any good for me. You never listened to me. Never. My dear sister, do you even understand? Have you ever opened a dictionary to ask yourself what the word never means? Never means from day one till day 7,000 and whatever we are in today. How many days you've been married, when you say the word never, it means never in the past. 0%, zero opportunities, zero chances, zero times you've done this for me. Your husband has been so kind to you, your children have been so kind, but then you turn around and you say, you never do anything for me. And you never do anything. And it breaks the heart of the husband. And all my life, every time I've been doing, and here she's saying the opposite of every, she's saying never, that you've never done anything for me. My dear sisters, I was saying, Allah has put it in the nature of a woman, that when she looks towards another woman who is much more well off, she tends to compare herself. She tends to compare that, oh, I live in a 2-bedroom apartment, and look at her, she's living in a nice house. And my husband is only on this much salary. Look at her husband, he's on such a good salary. We tend to compare ourselves. When we see someone, so we'll come home and we'll say, look at them, every day they are eating a 3-course meal. And we can only afford to make a 1-course meal. Look at them, they are living in such a nice house. And look at us, so many years we've been living in such a house. And look, my bedroom is like this. And look, our paint is losing color as well. And you know, well, you don't do anything for the house, you don't do anything for us. And the husband is trying to explain that, look, taqdeer and rizq, it is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are trying whatever Allah has given to us. Let us be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us be thankful to Allah. She says, no, look at his children. 2 times in a year they can go for a holiday. 5 years have gone by, we have not gone for a holiday. And slowly, 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 she's making him feel so guilty, making him ride the guilt trip. Putting him through the guilt trip that you've done nothing for us. And you don't even work hard enough for us. And it's so easy for us. Come on, let us get a mortgage. Let us take an interest-based debt and loan. And let us buy a house over there as well. Let us move out from this area. We're in the runs over here. Let us go to another area. We can enjoy ourselves over there. And slowly, slowly, you've persuaded your husband to get into such a big sin. Get into such a big sin. You tell your husband, you're so dry, always going to the masjid. Look at my friend's husband, every Saturday, always taking the children to the park. And he doesn't say that it's Zuhar time and Asr time and Maghrib time and Isha time. All day they are enjoying themselves. And you are always saying that, look, if we go over here, I need to find somewhere to pray my salah. If we go over there, we need to come back before the time. You're always talking about salah. You're always talking about deen. Look at my friend's children. Whenever they come back from school, they can enjoy themselves. They sit there for long, long hours watching the television. And look at our children. You're forcing them that when they come home, you have to quickly get ready and quickly go to madrasa. And you have to spend such a long time over there. And then you have to come home. And then they're so tired. Now they have to do their homework. And they have to do this. And they have to do this. Us women, we tend to compare ourselves to others. And we're comparing ourselves in their worldly good. in their worldly good. But what message did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam give to you, my dear sister? One piece of jewelry we see on our friend. Now we do not smile at our husband until he buys us that piece of jewelry. You've got 10, 20, 50 pairs of clothes lying at home. But no, meri dost ke paas jo kapra hai, oh, mujhe to aisa kapra chahiye. Mere paas to kuch nahi hai. 50, 50 suit ghar mein pade hue hai. Lekin mere paas to kuch nahi hai, ye kehti hai. No, I do not have anything. Or look at their car and look at our car. Such a rubbish car. Whereas, mashallah, the car that Allah has given to you is better than the conveyances the kings used to drive hundreds of years ago. Huh? Or 50 years ago, what the king, the car he never had, today Allah has given a better car to your own husband. Huh? AC and four wheels, and it's taking you from A to B nicely, nice and comfortable. The doors are opening properly, the boot is opening properly. What more do you want, my dear sister? He's taking you from A to B. Your husband is fulfilling your right. But no. What did Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Human nature is that when it comes to worldly gain, when it comes to worldly facility and worldly things and worldly items, we always look up to them. We always say, oh, he is much more better and he is much more better. And when we look in the world, we say, I want to be like him. I want to be like him. But when my dear sister sees that her neighbor, she is praying 5 namaz on time. And this sister, she is only praying 3 namaz. Why doesn't she come and say over there that, oh, she is praying 5 namaz. I want to become like her. Or me, you know, I am still wearing, so look at these Western clothes I am wearing. And I know Allah does not want me to wear tight clothes like this and expose my body like this. But look at my neighbor. She is wearing a scarf. She wears modest clothes. Why doesn't she say then that, you know, I want to become like my sister? Why doesn't she see that, oh, I am wearing such nice clothes today, but my sister, for the sake of Allah, she's wearing a simple jubba, she's wearing a scarf, she's wearing a niqab, she's dressing the way Allah wants her to become. So instead of me saying, I want clothes like that, why don't I look towards her? Because she is much more well off than me. She is much more well off than me. You will see in the akhirat, my dear sister. But those who, friends who you laugh at in school and you say, you're loners. And you know, you're losers, and you don't do anything good, and look at us, you know, we mix with the boys, and we do this, and we do this, and you're so dry, that even at lunchtime you want to go to such and such room, and you want to offer your prayer, you girls are so dry, you girls are so backward. These girls who are following the deen, trying to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you and I, my dear sister, we are laughing at them today, tomorrow on the day of judgment, we will be crying, and they will be laughing at us. Tomorrow we will be crying and they will be laughing at us. We will be crying saying that, oh Allah, we could have also become like them as well. But the worldly life and the influence of shaitan and the influence of world, the peer pressure and the influence of the environment around me, I fell prey to that, oh Allah. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us beautiful advice. He says, when it comes to the dunya, when it comes to worldly, this is even you, my dear brother, sitting over here, if you adopt this principle in life, you'll be so successful. You'll be so successful. He says, when it comes to the worldly items, then look at those people who are less fortunate than you. Look at those people who are in the world. Don't look at that. If you're living in a two-bedroom apartment, don't look at that friend who is living in a house. Look at that poor woman who is begging outside on the streets. Look at that poor woman who, she's got 5, yet they are living in 1-bedroom studio flat. Only 1 bedroom, 1 kitchen, 1 bathroom. The whole family is living inside there. My dear sister, you are on social media so much. Don't you ever see the videos of my dear brothers and sisters and my dear children who are suffering around the world? Huh? Loaves and loaves of bread you can chuck away inside the bin. And these small children, they are walking on the streets, digging into the mud, that maybe we will find some particles of bread and we can eat this bread. My dear sister, are you not watching how these children, that they were living in houses, within a few minutes their houses are getting bombed? And these your brothers and sisters around the world, how when they are in war-stricken zones, today they have nice houses, they have a shelter over their head. Now the only shelter they have over their head is bombs flying above their head. Are you not seeing this, my dear sister? So he said that, oh Muslims, when it comes to worldly items, houses, cars, careers, money, look at those people who are less fortunate than you. One day, Sheikh Shibli Nu'mani rahmatullahi alayhi, he looked at his feet and he got a bit upset that my trainers are not so good. Or you lot call it sneakers. My sneakers are not so good. Or my shoes are not so good. And if only, you know, I could have had some better trainers. And like this, he got up. And he wasn't in a good mood that day. Because he saw that I haven't got good shoes on. They were good shoes. But he said, I haven't got good shoes on. And he started comparing himself to others. That, oh, my friend's got shoes like this. He was a sheikh. But Allah wanted to teach him a lesson. So he said, in this bad mood, in this upset mood, I got to the masjid. When I got to the shoe area, I saw there was somebody sitting there on the bench. He had no feet. He was sitting there on the bench. He had no feet. Immediately, I lamented myself and I said, oh, Shibli, you are such a bad person. You are upset with Allah because you have not got good trainers. Why don't you look at that person who has not even got feet to wear any footwear. He has not even got feet to wear good trainers and good shoes. So he says that in the worldly items, look at those people who are less fortunate than you. What are we doing right now? In the world, we're looking at those who are better. And in the deen, we're looking at those who are lower. That, oh, she only prays one namaz, I'm praying three namaz. She doesn't wear, look, she's wearing jeans and she's wearing tops and she's exposing her hair. At least I'm wearing a scarf. We when it comes to deen, we're comparing ourselves to others who are lower than us. When it comes to dunya, we're comparing ourselves who are higher than us. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do the opposite. Do the opposite. When it comes to deen, look at those people who are better than you. Oh, look at my friend. Look at my friend. She has made two of her daughters alima. And look at my children. I have not even sent them to madrasa. I am a bit bad. Look at my friend. Whenever there is masturat, bayan taking place, ta'aleem taking place in the masjid, bayan taking place in the masjid, she comes. And look at me. I sit at home and I carry on watching the dramas and the music. And I carry on just wasting time. So when it comes to deen, compare ourselves to those sisters who are better than us. That will motivate us to do good. That will motivate us to try even more for our deen. And when it comes to the dunya, and look at those sisters who are less fortunate than us. When it comes to dunya, look at those who are less fortunate than us. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you do this, it will help you to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be grateful to your husbands and to your fathers. So we should, in deen, look at those who are better than us. In dunya, look at those who are well off, who are less fortunate than us. And my dear sisters, try your utmost. Try your utmost. You exert every energy and effort and willpower that you have to ensure you do not engage in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be fooled by the peer pressure around you. Don't be fooled by what the television is showing to you. Don't be fooled by all of these adverts around you. You don't have to become so good looking like them and so attractive like them. Because let me tell you something, my dear sister. The beauty Allah has given to you is natural beauty. And when men look at these billboards, they know that whatever we are looking at, these are all fake around us. This whole industry of advertising women, it is all fake things happening behind the scene. What makeup they are putting on, what plastic surgery they are doing, all of this is fake, my dear sister. But when you look at that picture, you start thinking to yourself, now I need to invest in this makeup as well. And I need to start wearing makeup like this as well. And I need to buy clothes like this as well. And now all these billboards are telling you, and all these television programs are telling you, and all these pop stars are telling you that, oh, you know, girl, if you don't start, you know, revealing your body as well, and exposing your body as well, and start wearing shorter dresses, and start wearing t-shirts, and start letting your hair out as well, you won't be accepted in society. All of this is lies, my dear sister. All of these are lies. I've got so many men sitting over here, you ask them, that they will appreciate that woman who covers herself. They will appreciate that woman who keeps herself natural. They will appreciate that woman so much more than that woman who is there. And just for the sake of attraction, just for the sake of attention, she is revealing her body. She's putting on layers and layers of makeup, and she's making her body so fake just to attract others. None of this means anything to men. To the real men of the Akhirah, none of this means anything to them. They understand this is fake. But the world, it is illusion. You are being taken into this illusion. You are being made to think, until I do not become like this, I will not be accepted in society. And now, because you feel that until I do not do this, I won't be accepted in society. My dear sister, you are breaking all the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The laws of dressing, the laws of social conduct. And here you are, whether you're talking to boys, whether you're talking to girls, it's the same for you. Whether you're interacting and getting into relationships with boys, with girls, it's all the same to you. Because why? Allah is no longer important to you anymore. I want to stand out from everybody else. This is important to you now. My image, this is important to me now. My attraction, this is important to me now. I want attention, this is important to me now. My profile, my image, this is important to me now. And in doing this, my dear sister, look how many laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you are breaking. If you are seeing that this friend, she is not good to me because she does not have a following, now you will cuss her, you will put her down, you will swear at her. And then if you see somebody else and you think, my bee hanging around with her, I will also build my image as well, so you will go. Look, you are putting others down. Now you will get together with your friend circle, you will cuss other girls, put them down as well, make them feel like nobodies, make them feel like losers. Why? Because Allah is no longer important to you anymore, my dear sister. All of these things are important to you now. Fashion is important to you now. Making a name for yourself is important to you now. My makeup is important to me now. My Facebook page and my Twitter page and my Instagram page and my Snapchat, this is important to me now. So now, however I can, look how badly you are being deceived, my dear sister. I don't want, time does not permit now, I want to wrap up now, but photography is not allowed in Islam anyway. Photography is not allowed in Islam anyway. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, 9 chapters in Sahih al-Bukhari he explains. 9 chapters in Sahih al-Bukhari he explains that photography is not allowed in Islam. And picture taking and picture drawing is not allowed in Islam of living things. Take pictures of the skies. Take pictures of buildings, take pictures of skyscrapers, take pictures of the living scenery, of the natural scenery of Allah, no problem. And if you're doubting me, then my brothers, you know that last year when our head mufti of Darul Uloom Deoband, the madrasa that we all look up to today, when the head mufti came, what did he say? That 99% of the ulama of Asia, they are of this opinion, and the ulama around the world, they are of this opinion that photography is haram. Just because you see an alim behind a video screen and behind a camera screen, it does not make it permissible for you and I. And I do not want to go into the Islamic ruling of it. I want to give you some food for thought. And I want to tell you that even if photography was allowed in Islam, why photography is not good for you and I, my dear sister? Why? Because here we have our sister Maryam. Maryam will come, she'll take a picture of herself, she'll take a selfie, she'll tell somebody else to take a picture of herself. Now she puts it up on her Snapchat. But then 2 minutes later, she sees another sister. She sees her sister Safiya, for example. And Safiya, oh, her eyebrows are nice and lined up, which is haram as well. But her eyebrows are nice and lined up. And Safiya, she's got such, look at her, she's got no spots on her face. And look at her, you know, her face looks so clean like this. So now Maryam starts thinking, oh no. The picture that I put up, I had my scarf on, I had no makeup on, my eyebrows were not done, and I did not have no makeup on, and you know, I did not, you know, show off with my looks. But now Maryam starts getting into this inferior complex. Oh, I am not good like Safiya, and I need to look like Safiya now. So now she goes to the downtown, she goes to the shopping center, now I need to also pluck my eyebrows as well. And you know, it doesn't matter if Allah doesn't allow it, everybody's doing it. If I don't do it, then if I also do it, what's the big deal? She starts thinking like this. All my friends in school, all my friends in college, university, they are all doing it. If I don't do it as well, what's the big deal? Yeah, if they're going to get punished, I will get punished as well. What's the big deal? So now she starts plucking her eyebrows, and now she says, what makeup can I wear that I can also start looking like Safiya as well? So now Maryam has now become the fake Safiya. And then now she puts a picture on Snapchat. And then a few minutes later, she sees another sister. And that sister, she's not wearing her scarf. And then she says, wow, she looks so beautiful. She looks so beautiful. Her hair is out as well. And much more makeup than Safiya. And even her eyebrows are even more lined up. And look, she's doing this and she's doing this. So now this Maryam, who was a modest sister, she became a fake Safiya, but now is breaking her immodesty and she wants to become like sister number 3. So now she goes to the salon and she said, make my hair like this as well. I want to put my picture up like this as well, on my display picture. So now Maryam became this fake Safiya. Now she wants to become this fake number 3. When she becomes this fake number 3, she sees woman number 4. And woman number 4 has not just only done her face up. Look at the clothes she's wearing. She's not only taken a picture of her face, taken a picture of her whole body. You understand what I'm talking about, my friends? And my dear sisters, you understand what I'm talking about. All of these thoughts are going through your mind all day. But I have just explained to you that even if photography was allowed, why is it not good for you and I? Why is it not healthy for us? Because it's always making us become fake people. And always breaking our modesty. So look how Maryam was such a modest sister, and now all of her modesty is breaking. She will lead to such immodesty that when she will look back at her life, she will say, I never imagined I would fall into such a trap. But now she's changed from Maryam to fake woman. Now for her to go back to that is going to be very, very difficult. She say, oh, I won't be acceptable in society. My work colleagues will not accept me. What will people say? And she don't want to, but she will have to remain like that forever. My dear sisters, we can go on and on and on. And we can talk about music, we can talk about intermingling with the opposite gender, we can talk about haram relationships, we can go on and on and on and on. My dear sister, my message I want to leave you with today, none of these friends you are doing all of this for. None of these friends you are doing all of this for. None of these peers that under whose pressure you are falling in. None of these colleagues you are doing all of this for. None of these social media platforms you are doing all of this for are going to follow you into that qabr. My dear sister, once you go into this qabr, these people who you are doing all of this for, they won't even get the tawfiq to pray Qul huwa Allahu Ahad once for you. They won't even get the tawfiq to say, let me pray two rakat namaz for my sister Maryam and let me make dua for her. She is in her qabr. Allah knows what is happening to her. Who will do this for you? These same apas and your teachers in madrasa who are telling you that girls, we should behave ourselves, they will be the ones praying for you. Your mothers who are telling you today that look, don't go out like this, don't go out at this time, and don't go over here, it's not good for you. And you're saying, no, what can you do? You can't stop me. I was saying today after Fajr that the reason why we don't listen to our parents today is because the world we are living in today has taught us so much that even you, oh young child, you get the freedom you want. If you want, you can live with your parents. If you don't want to listen to them, if your parents are giving you a hard time, run away from home. Come into the hostel. We will sustain you. We will give you benefits. We will provide for you. So now the child feels, you know what? I don't have to listen to my parents. I can stay with them if I want. When they start giving me a hard time, I can go and live with my friend. Nobody will look down at me. Nobody will say anything to me. So this is how you have been made to feel like this. And now that takes you into the trap and takes you off the hidayah. So these same parents who you are saying, no, I don't want to listen to you, and I don't want to do this. My dear sisters, I cried to you in the morning and I said to you that look, our parents, they will never ever tell us to do anything if there's no benefit for us. They will never ever tell us to refrain from anything if there's no benefit for us. When they tell us to do something, they tell us because there's benefit. When they tell us to refrain from something, they tell us because there's harm in us doing it and there's benefit in us refraining from it. I was shocked when my friends came and they said, come on Sheikh, we want to take you for a drive. And they were telling me that look at these dessert parlors. Good sisters who belong to Muslim families, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, they are out there in the dessert parlors. This happens in the UK. It happens in the UK that bichari girls, Muslim girls, they are out there. But which girls? Those girls who've been deprived of good Islamic tarbiyah. Those girls who've been deprived of good Islamic parents. And here in Toronto, here in Canada, we are seeing that good families you belong to. But because your freedom has made you love your friends so much, made you oppose your parents so much, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, in the blessed nights of Ramadan, you're going there in the dessert parlors, you're going there in the clubs, you're going there in the restaurants, and there you are listening to music, enjoying yourself, smoking away. Huh? Smoking does not even look good on girls. Smoking, my dear sisters, does not even look good on you. And not just smoking cigarettes and tobacco, but also going on to drugs as well. My heart cried when I heard all of this. I said, at least our UK is better in this way, that the sisters who may not be religious, the sisters who belong to religious families, they may not be religious, but they do not have the guts to say to the parents that, oh, I'm going out clubbing at night, and I'm going out with my friends at night. And they can bring drugs home, bring alcohol home. I said, Alhamdulillah, our environment is not like this in the UK. My dear sisters, come to your senses. Come to your senses. I was saying, when you go inside that qabr, my dear sister, who is going to help you over there? Is this alcohol going to come and give you enjoyment in the qabr? Are these drugs going to come and give you enjoyment in the qabr? Is your boyfriend going to come and see you in the qabr? Are these films and this cinema going to come and help you in the qabr? Is this music going to come and help you in the qabr? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا الْمَيِّتُ فِي الْقَبْرِ مَا الْمَيِّتُ فِي الْقَبْرِ إِلَّا كَالْغَرِيقِ الْمُتَغَوِّثِ. The dead person, when he enters into the qabr, he is like a drowning person. Someone who is drowning in the water. Someone who is drowning in the ocean. And he's screaming for help. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this dead person, he is screaming from that qabr, saying to his mother, saying to his father, saying to his brother, don't leave the qabristan, stay with me, because you don't know what kind of trouble I'm going to get into. You don't know. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, every animal and every other creation on the earth can hear his scream, except for the jinn and the ins. Because if the world and the humans were to listen to the scream that this mayyit lets off inside this qabr, the human beings would become deaf, my dear sisters. Please, come out of this bubble you are living in. Please, come out of this illusion you are living in, that I am the best and I can do whatever I want. And my dear mothers listening as well, please come onto the religion of Allah. All of this illusion around you, that oh, if I don't wear my scarf, and if I don't pray my namaz, and if I don't help my husband with regards deen, nothing will happen to me. My dear sister, the moment you enter into the qabr, my dear mother, the moment you enter into the qabr, you'll be crying, you'll be scratching your face out of grief, that why didn't I listen to the ulama in the world? Why didn't I listen to the good people in the world? I was there thinking, I'm the queen of the world, and I'm on top of the world, and I can do whatever I want. My dear sister, you can do whatever you want today. Nobody can stop you from doing what you are doing today. But my dear sister, when you will go into that qabr, I beg you to tell me, what will you do in that qabr afterwards? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when that person will go into the qabr, and he was a disobedient servant of Allah, disobedient servant of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala will let loose one snake from the bottom of your body. One snake will start eating you from between your legs. And another snake will start eating you from your head. And these two snakes will meet up in the middle. Imagine how painful that will be, my dear sister. And don't think once these snakes meet in the middle, that is it. Allah Ta'ala will then repair your body again. Reconstruct your body again. And Allah Ta'ala will continue to let this punishment come. Allah Ta'ala will let all sorts of insects come. My dear sisters, the room you are sitting in right now, the room you are sitting in right now, imagine a child, the youngest child of a lion was to be inside that room right now. The youngest child of a lion. It does not even look fairy to us. It does not even look scary to us. And imagine someone was to close those doors. And my dear sisters, and imagine this lion, which is in the other corner of the room right now, was to come closer to you, come closer to you, come closer to you. What will happen to you right now, my dear sister? When you know there's no windows over here, there's no doors over here, the windows are locked, the doors are locked, we cannot escape anywhere. And we are not talking about a tiger or a lion over here. We're talking about the youngest of childs of that tiger, of that lion. What will happen to you, my dear sister? If a snake was to be in that room right now, however many sisters of you are in that room, the doors were locked, the windows were locked, and one small snake was to be inside that room. There are so many of you. Yet, what will happen to you, my dear sisters? So imagine when you are locked inside that qabr. There is no way out for you from that qabr. And not snakes from this world. Not insects from this world. Not scorpions and tigers and lions from this world. The insects and the dangerous animals of the hereafter, of Jahannam, will be let loose of you inside that qabr. Where will you go, my dear sister? Tell me. Where will you go? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what we need to do, my dear sisters. Frequent ourselves with the masjid. Connect yourself to a good alima. Do ta'aleem with them. Sit down with them. Say to them, that why don't you educate us? Tell us what happens in the hereafter. One big part of our religion is the hereafter. We believe in the hereafter. If we don't believe in the hereafter, we are not Muslims. Amantu billah. We have to believe in the seven tenets of faith. Amantu billah. I believe in Allah. Wa malaikatihi. I believe in the angels. Wa rusulihi. I believe in the messengers of Allah. Wal yawmil akhir. I believe in the last day. The day of. I believe in the last day that this world will come to an end. Wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah. I believe all good and bad comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal ba'thi ba'dal maut. And I believe that after I will die, my death is not the end. My death is not the end, my dear sister. Your death is the beginning. Your death is the beginning for the eternal hereafter. For the eternal hereafter. And my dear sisters, time does not permit. But if you hear, and if you come to understand what happens inside that qabr, if you come to hear and you understand what happens when you are resurrected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when people will give up all of their good deeds just for one sip of water. Man will become so desperate tomorrow on the day of judgment that he'll become so thirsty, the sun will only be 1 mile away from his head. My dear sister, these are not fairy tales I'm sharing with you. These are not television programs I'm sharing with you. This is not illusion I'm taking you in. My dear sisters, inna wa'dallahi haqq. Allah ka wa'da ye sacha hai. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truthful, my dear sister. That when you will get into the hereafter and the sun will be so close to us, we will sweat so much, all the liquid from our body will come out of our bodies. We'll be so thirsty. And then Allah will say, do you want a cup of water? Do you want a sip of water? His mom will say, Allah, I am dying. My sister, you will say, Allah, I am dying. Quench my thirst for me. Give me a sip of water. Allah Ta'ala will say, in return, you will have to give up all of your good deeds. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a time of desperation will come. If you are not the pious servant of Allah, a time of desperation will come that this man will say, oh Allah, give me that sip of water, take all of my good deeds. And within a few minutes, he'll become thirsty again. Then where will she go? My dear sister, when mine and your deeds will be put on the scales, and all of our makeup, our fashion, our boyfriends, our clubs, our pubs, our drugs, when all of this will be put on one side, our leaving namaz, our being lazy, our not fulfilling the rights of our parents, not fulfilling the rights of our children, when all of this will be put on the bad side, and nothing to be put on the good side, my dear friends, my dear sisters, what will happen to us on that day? And it goes on and on and on, all the different stages of the akhirah, when we have to pass that bridge, my dear sister, the pul sirat, finer than a hair, sharper than a blade. The pul sirat, the bridge that goes over the fire of Jahannam, if you cross it successfully, if you're a good person, Allah will help you cross it faster than the speed of lightning. And if you're an evil person, you will fall over that bridge. Who can balance themselves? Who can balance themselves on something more finer than a hair and sharper than a blade? He will slip, he will fall into the fire of Jahannam, my dear sister. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a great companion, Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu. And I will finish on this, my dear sister. Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu. When he passes away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam buries him. Who was Sa'd bin Mu'az? We have to understand first. Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu, he's an Ansari companion. He used to live in Medina Munawwara. And he was the leader of the Banu Abdul Ashhal tribe. From a tribe of Aus. We had two famous tribes in Medina Munawwara. From the Muslim tribes who later became Muslim, Aus and Khazraj. So he was a leader for this tribe, Banu Abdul Ashhal. It is still the 13th year of Nubuwah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not yet migrated to Medina Munawwara, but Muslim people have started to accept Islam in Medina Munawwara. So when these new Muslims came to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, "Send us a teacher. Send us an alim who will teach us our deen." You have all heard of Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Mus'ab bin Umair, "You are alim. I have trained you enough. Go and do the work of tabligh now. Go to Medina Munawwara, start teaching these people their Islam." Sa'd bin Mu'az wasn't a Muslim. When he found out, he took his sword and he went to the house where Mus'ab bin Umair was staying, and he took his sword and he was so angry and he said, "Why have you come to our land? Why have you come to our city? And why are you preaching all of this over here? If you want to preach this, get out of our land and go and do it elsewhere." He was furious. He wanted to kill Mus'ab bin Umair. Mus'ab bin Umair said, Oh my dear friend, Sa'd, calm down. Calm down, talk to me. At least listen to what I have to share with you. At least listen to what I have to share with you. Sa'd, my dear sisters, he did not fall for peer pressure. He did not say, when I go back to my people, what will they say? Or if I start coming to my masjid, what will my friends start saying? Or if I don't come to the cinema with them today, what will my friends start saying? If I don't come to the restaurant today, what will my friends say? If we don't smoke together, what will they say? If I get out of the relationship, what will my boyfriend say? This didn't mean anything to Sa'd bin Mu'az. Sa'd bin Mu'az was a man, he was a man of principle. Sa'd bin Mu'az was a man who had guts. He was a brave man. If you're brave, if you're a coward, you worry about what everybody else says. If you're brave, you stand on your own two feet. So Sa'd bin Mu'az said, "Fine, Mus'ab, tell me what you have to share with me." He listens to a few verses of the Quran. This man who came to kill Mus'ab bin Umair is telling Mus'ab bin Umair, "Oh Mus'ab, this is something fantastic." He felt the beauty of Islam, which you and I failed to feel today, my dear sister. When he felt this, he said, "Oh Mus'ab, this is amazing. Tell me how to enter into this religion." Allahu Akbar. So Mus'ab bin Umair says, "Say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." Why did I tell you this whole incident? When he went back to Banu Abdul Ashhal, he said to his tribe that رجالكم ونساؤكم كلامكم حرام علي. All of you men, all of you women, none of you are allowed to talk to me until you also accept the religion that I have accepted. Such an influential man, before the night break, every single person from his whole tribe accepted Islam. You have to be influential to do something like this. Sa'd bin Mu'az was a very, very influential man. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would give so much glad tidings to Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu. Let us fast forward to when Sa'd bin Mu'az passed away. When Sa'd bin Mu'az, I want to explain to you how great Sa'd bin Mu'az was. When he passes away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that ihtazza arshur rahman li mawti Sa'd ibn Mu'az. Allahu Akbar. Allah ka arsh jhoomne laga. Allah ka arsh khushi mein hilne laga. Jhoomne laga Sa'd ibn Mu'az ki maut par. Ki mera Sa'd aa raha hai, mera Sa'd aa raha hai. Allah ka arsh khushi mein jhoomne laga. Aap andaaza lagao mere dosto. My sisters, he was such a great person and we can become like this as well. He was so great, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed through wahi that the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shaking out of happiness because of the death of Sa'd bin Mu'az. And now finally, Sa'd bin Mu'az will come to meet me now. Allah is happy. Allah, the arsh of Allah is happy. Should be that the dying person should be happy. Now I will meet Allah. Here we have Allah is happy that my Sa'd ibn Mu'az is coming to me. Sa'd ibn Mu'az is coming to me. So, anyway, the munafiqeen started to laugh. Munafiqeen started to laugh and they started to say, look at this Sa'd bin Mu'az. He's just lying over here, dead person. He was a skinny man. He said, look at this Sa'd bin Mu'az lying over here. You know, his body has no weight. His body has no worth. From Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh hypocrites, what do you know? He said, oh people, what do you know? 70,000 angels who had never ever come onto this earth, never ever come into this world. 70,000 pure angels who've always been living in the heavens. Allah Ta'ala sent down 70,000 of these pure angels to come down to escort the body of Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu an. Kitne bare shaks honge. He must have been such a great person, my dear sisters. Such a great person. But when he passes away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions, they buried this Sa'd bin Mu'az. Such a pious person, such a great person I have just explained to you. But when they finished burying him, they put the soil on top of him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands there. He would normally make dua, he would normally start praying Quran for his companions anyway. But now he stands there and loudly he says Subhanallah. Loudly he says Alhamdulillah. Loudly he says Allahu Akbar. Loudly he says La ilaha illallah. Companions stood there quiet watching. This is something we have not seen before. We don't normally do this. We don't start praying the tasbihat. And even today, this is not the sunnah. We do not do this. The sahaba said that after a while, we asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, he asked, why did you do this? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I was informed through wahi that when Sa'd bin Mu'az was lowered into the qabr, the grave started to tighten up on him. The grave started to compress him. Who are we talking about? An evil person. Who are we talking about? A sinner. Who are we talking about? A non-Muslim, na'uzubillah. Who are we talking about? A bad Muslim. We're talking about the likes of Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, my dear sisters, that even on Sa'd bin Mu'az, the qabr started to tighten up. The qabr started to tighten up. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because I started to pray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expanded the qabr for him again. I ask you, my dear sisters, are we as pious as Sa'd bin Mu'az? Are we as great as Sa'd bin Mu'az? But if this can happen to Sa'd bin Mu'az inside his qabr, why will this not happen to you and I, my dear sisters? Why will this not happen to you and I, my dear sisters? So this is my message to you today, my dear sisters. I hope I am your guest. I hope you will honor your guest by at least taking on the nasiha and the advice of your guest. Listen to what I have to say, my dear sisters. That look, first of all, this world is temporary. Always remind yourself this world is temporary. When you get attracted like a magnet and get sucked into the worldly desires, remind yourself this is not going to last forever. This is all going to come to an end one day. Secondly, my dear sisters, remind yourself whatever bad deeds we will do today, We'll have to answer for it in that qabr. Thirdly, my dear sisters, understand all these things we are doing for all our friends and our relatives and others today around us, none of these people are going to help us in that qabr. And number four, my dear sister, we'll all have to go into the akhirah. And every single deed, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Even a small particle of good you will do in this world, you will see the benefit of it tomorrow. And وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. If you do any bad deed, you will have to see the results of it and face the punishment for it tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. Before it is too late, my dear sister, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do tawbah, adopt the means of living a good Muslim life, connect yourself to good apas, connect yourself to good Islamic circles, and try to progress in your deen, and make it a must in your life, make it a mission in your life. And I want to refrain from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala khairi khalki Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Make a short dua. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت أعلم به منا أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت وأنت على كل شيء قدير Oh Allah, Oh the most merciful of merciful ones, Oh the most forgiving of the forgivers, Oh Akramul Akrameen, Oh the Lord of the universes, Oh Allah, forgive our sins, Oh Allah, have mercy on us, Oh Allah, it is the month of Ramadan, Oh Allah, it is the month of Ramadan, the month of mercy, the month of forgiveness, the month of emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. Oh Allah, we beg for you, your mercy. Oh Allah, shower us in your mercy. Oh Allah, flood us in your mercy. Oh Allah, we are going through those 10 days of Ramadan where the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Oh Allah, your forgiveness is at its peak. Oh Allah, we beg you, Oh Allah, we beg you that you forgive our sins. Oh Allah, we accept that we are weak. Oh Allah, we accept that we are falling prey to the whispers of shaitan. Oh Allah, we accept that we are sinning due to the environment around us. But Oh Allah, if we can go, then Allah, where can we go? Oh Allah, whose house, whose door can we come knocking on except for your door? Oh Allah, open the door for us and accept our tawbah. Oh Allah, open the door of tawbah and Oh Allah, accept the door of accept our tawbah. Oh Allah, we are weak. Oh Allah, we understand that we are doing wrong, but Oh Allah, at least we are trying. Oh Allah, if we weren't trying, why would we come here today? Oh Allah, if we weren't trying, why would we come to listen to some sort of good advice? Oh Allah, even on this small effort we are trying, Oh Allah, accept it and change our lives for us. Oh Allah, change our lives for us. Oh Allah, change our lives for us. Oh Allah, there is so much fitna around us, so much trials, tribulations around us. Oh Allah, when we go to school, we are not safe. Oh Allah, when we are on the streets, we are not safe. Oh Allah, wherever we are going, from all angles, all directions, even when we are in the safety of our houses, Oh Allah, we are no longer safe. Our phones, our tablets, our laptops, they are inviting us, the internet is inviting us, that we disconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we connect with all sorts of sins on the internet. Oh Allah, in this time of trial and tribulation, Oh Allah, whoever you wish, and Oh Allah, whoever you choose, Oh Allah, you can take them out of these trials and tribulations. Oh Allah, we beg you that make us from those chosen ones, that even from this time of sin, even in this era of sin, Oh Allah, you save us from sin and you put us on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. You put us on the righteous path. You make us from those who are obedient to our parents. You make us from those who listen to our ulama. You make us from those who connect to our alimas and who connect to our Islamic teachers. And then we know that these people can take us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, whatever sins we have done in front of others, Oh Allah, forgive our sins. Oh Allah, whatever sins we have done hidden away from others, in the four corners of our bedrooms, behind closed doors, behind closed veils, Oh Allah, you were aware of those sins. Oh Allah, you did not inform anybody of those sins, but Oh Allah, we beg you that Oh Allah, forgive those sins. Oh Allah, whatever sins we have done intentionally, Oh Allah, we beg you that you forgive our sins. Oh Allah, whatever sins we have done unintentionally, Oh Allah, we beg you, you forgive our sins. Oh Allah, whatever sins we done Knowingly, O Allah, forgive our sins. And O Allah, whatever sins we have done unknowingly, O Allah, forgive our sins. O Allah, today we are somebody's daughters. Tomorrow we will also have daughters. We will also have children. O Allah, just as our parents do not want us to be bad daughters, similarly, O Allah, we do not want our children to be corrupt. O Allah, times are getting bad. O Allah, the next generation will have much more difficulties than we are going through. O Allah, if you do not save us today, and O Allah, if you do not put us on the right path today, then O Allah, we will also have to see our children on the bad path. O Allah, we beg you for your mercy. Put us on the right path. O Allah, we beg you that make our deen attractive for us. O Allah, we make you that give us our comfort in your salah. O Allah, we beg you that give us comfort and give us the coolness of the eyes and give us enjoyment just like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would find enjoyment in his salah, would find enjoyment in being obedient to you. O Allah, we beg you that grant us also the sweetness of iman. O Allah, grant us the lazzat and the pleasure of fulfilling your desires, of fulfilling your orders. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us from the Rabia Bisri of this time. O Allah, make us from the Aisha and the Fatima radiallahu anhuma of this time. O Allah, make us from the Khadija of this time. O Allah, the wife of Fir'aun, the wife of Fir'aun, she was living in the house of the enemy of Allah. But Allah, because you chose her, O Allah, because you chose her, and O Allah, because she took that step towards you, you made her from the best of women to ever step foot on this earth. O Allah, we are not in the house of kuffar. O Allah, we are not in the house of non-Muslims. O Allah, we are in the house of good Muslim parents. And those Muslims, those parents who are concerned for us. O Allah, make us from those chosen ones. O Allah, the opportunity you give to us. O Allah, give us the tawfiq to take that step towards you. O Allah, in this country, you have given us all sorts of benefits, all sorts of luxury, all sorts of facility. O Allah, give us the tawfiq to be grateful to you for this. And do not misuse your luxury and your benefit and your facility in disobeying Allah. O Allah, let us use this facility and this luxury and this ease that we have around us to fulfill your commandments. O Allah, our Muslim brothers and sisters are suffering around the world. O Allah, we have so much food for suhoor that we have left over for iftar. And O Allah, we have so much food for iftar and it can last us for the whole month of Ramadan. But my Muslim brothers and sisters who are suffering around the world, they are fasting for 24 hours because nor do they have anything to do suhoor with, nor do they have anything to do iftar with. Oh Allah, we have so much young children around the world that due to the hard and the difficulties they are going through, oh Allah, they have been separated from their parents. Oh Allah, mothers, they have lost their children. Oh Allah, mothers, they have lost their young children. Oh Allah, this can happen to us today in this world as well, in this part of the world as well. If we continue to be ungrateful to you, O Allah, give us tawfiq to be grateful to you. And O Allah, those Muslim brothers and sisters, and O Allah, humanity, wherever they are suffering all around the world, O Allah, we beg you to relieve them from this difficulty. O Allah, many sisters, they have been caught up in drug trafficking today. Many sisters, they have been caught up in drug abuse today. They have been caught up in alcohol today. They have left their homes. They have run away from their families. O Allah, they have run away from your kalima as well. And they have adopted another religion. They do not want to follow their religion. Oh Allah, we beg you that pull these people back onto the Surat al-Mustaqim. Oh Allah, bring these people back onto the Surat al-Mustaqim. Oh Allah, day in, day out, their parents are crying tears. Their parents are crying. They do not have any sense of happiness in their life anymore because they have lost their children. Oh Allah, we beg you that bring these children and connect them back to their families and connect them back to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. O Allah, whatever we have asked for you, O Allah, grant it to us. And O Allah, you know all our needs more than we know our needs. O Allah, we beg you that fulfill our needs for us. Subhan rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ameen. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen.